on it.
Left it on.
Great. Well, it's great to be here this morning. It feels a bit like kind of a bit homey, really, because we know so many people here. And it's great to have friends around as well. And just keep smiling, friends, okay? Pretend you've not heard me before and how exciting it is and stuff like that, okay? It's great. And actually, I was just thinking, I remember Ricky, who led worship this morning, coming to our house, probably 10 or 12 years ago, Ricky, wasn't it? To learn to play the guitar. And it's great to see him now leading worship. That's brilliant, Ricky. Really good. Well done. Great. And, you know, Martin and I, as you know, have kind of been friends for a long time, as Stuart, Marion, and Martin and Margaret, friends with Sally and myself. And over the years, Martin used to come into my office when we were at the Oakwood Centre, and at least once a week he'd come in and say, "Phil, I've got a great idea." And I'd go, "Oh no, please, not another one." But one of the things I remember Martin saying to me when we were talking about kind of preaching series and that was this. He said, "You never want to be too long out of the Gospels." And I've carried that with me all the way through King's Church. And every time we do a series somewhere else, I always say to the guys, "Okay, let's get back in the Gospels for a time, because there's something so exciting about Jesus and what Jesus did and what he does for us. There's something about Jesus that is so rich and so amazing and so inspiring." And it's like that because, you know, we don't follow a religion, we don't follow a set of rules, we follow a person. And that person makes himself known to us really mostly in the Gospels. The fulfillment of all the rest of the Bible happens in the Gospels through Jesus Christ. So today we're going to be in the Gospels, which is good. Well, we're going to be in one Gospel. I'm not going to do them all because that would just take too long and I don't understand all of them anyway. So I want us to look this morning in Mark's Gospel. And the title of my talk this morning is this: "Wow, I wasn't expecting that." Wow, I wasn't expecting that. I'm going to ask Sally if she'll come and read from Mark's Gospel. This is my lovely assistant, Sally.
Not expect to be here. Oh, I've forgotten the mark.
Thanks, Andy. Sorry. Am I on?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is lovely to be here. I was thinking when we were riding over today, do you know what? It's like a bit like going home. You know, we're so welcomed and loved and accepted. And it's just nice to be out of King's for a morning as well, actually. Just to yeah. See you all, to see Vicky and John and Andy and Susan and families. You know, it's just great to be here. So thank you for making us so welcome. Right. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We're going to start there. Bit of a long reading you've given me this morning. So Jesus calms the storm, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was beat, no one was him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And took over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked the pure spirit. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were totally amazed.
I don't want that one, thanks. I've got this one. Good. Oh, bless you. Great, that's a great story, isn't it? I love those stories like that, because there's something about being with Jesus that things kind of happen, didn't they, when you read the scriptures. And I know that's kind of, those stories are kind of laid out in a couple of accounts, but I think the whole thing kind of strings together. If you read it, if you read some more of chapter 4, Sally started at verse 25 or 35. If you read the rest of the chapter, Jesus was teaching all day, and then it comes to the evening, and then he says, "Okay, let's go across to the other side of the lake." Jesus had been hugely busy teaching, and what I want us to try and imagine, if we can, is the whole sense of the disciples didn't know the end of the story. I've probably said that before. I love to read the scriptures thinking, try and imagine you don't know how this story ends, and try and picture yourself as one of those people that was there as this story was unfolding. Because it must have been quite incredible. You imagine Jesus is teaching all day, he's tired, so were his disciples, and he says this after all that teaching he'd done. He said, "Come on, guys, let's go over to the other side." And I can imagine the disciples thinking, finally, we get some time out. We get some time to be with Jesus. We get some time to relax. There might be a Mackey D's over there, or there might be a pub or something across the other side. I was going to say we could get a packet of pork scratchings, but that wouldn't quite be right, would it, with the kind of Jewish stuff, really. But and you can imagine, okay, everyone on the boat, guys, we can relax. We can relax. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. The lake was like a mill pond. Feet up, jackets off. This is it. Come on, guys. This is going to be it for the evening. It's going to be good. And then the storm. What's all this about? I thought we were in for a really great evening. I thought it was going to be nice and calm and peaceful. Now we're fighting a storm. And the storm increased in ferocity until the waves were swamping the boat. Yeah, where was Jesus when you kind of needed him? Where was he? Well, he was in the boat with them. He was asleep in the back of the boat while everything was going on. The storm was raging. And I can imagine that, you know, should we wake him? I mean, he's asleep. I mean, will we be okay? The waves were swamping the boat. Maybe we should just hang on and see what happens. But things didn't get better. The storm got worse, raged even more. And so they feel it's time to take action. Let's wake up Jesus. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, this must have been awesome. Imagine yourself in this. Jesus stands up and talks to the elements. Can you imagine that? How crazy is that? They must have looked at Jesus and gone, "Oh." He is talking to the wind and the waves. And suddenly, everything goes quiet and everything's still. The wind died down. There was complete calm again. Let me ask you a question. You ever been on a boat in really rough seas? One year, for our sins, we went to Scotland for a holiday, and we couldn't afford to go anywhere else. No, it's a lovely place. Scotland's wonderful. We went to a little place called Oban, and Oban is right on the coast. And you can go out from Oban in a little boat and go and see the seals and stuff, you know, around these little islands just outside Oban. So it was a pretty windy day, you know, but in the harbour it kind of looked okay. So Sally and myself, and actually it was Sally's sister and husband were with us, we thought, you know, let's go and see the seals, looks okay. So we go on this little boat. And then as we were kind of chugging towards the harbour entrance, the guy who's driving the boat, captain I guess, he starts putting on these oilskins. And you know, you look and you go, it's a good idea. So we get kind of through the mouth of the harbour, and suddenly the ferocity of the sea hits us. And this little boat, I guess there was about a dozen or so, it's a bit like a big rowing boat, you know. So it was just going up and crashing back down. And it's frightening when you're in a boat like that. And so we were all scared in that. And the guys there with his oilskin staying dry, the rest of us are soaking wet and freezing cold. And we don't give a monkeys about the seals. We just want to get back in the harbour. Blow the seals, you know. The other time I remember being in a storm was we were on a big ferry. I think it was in Scotland again, actually. Why we went back, I don't know. Anyway, we were in this ferry, this big ferry. And literally, I think we were going across to one of the islands again in the ferry. And you know when you kind of like the boat to be upright, don't you? Really, you know, because it kind of makes you feel a bit safer. This boat was like this, all the way across. It's like Stuart was telling me that it was a bit like Stuart having one leg longer than the other. You know, we could have done with it, and we could have turned around and we'd have been level, you know. But we were going across like this, and it's scary, isn't it, when you're in those kind of situations. And some of these fishermen that Jesus was with, some of his disciples were fishermen, and they were seasoned sailors, but the storm was a really bad one. And what's more, they'd never witnessed anyone speak into the wind and the waves before, and I doubt if we ever will again. It was weird, it was crazy. And then they must have thought, wow, this guy has control over the winds and the waves. Can you imagine how that must have sunk in when Jesus said, ooh, hold on, this is somebody really, really special. Maybe they were thinking, you know, we thought we knew Jesus. I'm not really sure we do. I'm not really sure we understand how immense, how powerful he is. Jesus had taken them right out of their comfort zone, first of all with a storm, but they were kind of used to storms. But then the whole sense of, be still. My word, can you imagine? Wow, who are we with? Who are we with? Anyway, the disciples were expecting a quiet evening across the other side of the lake. So they got to the other side of the lake. Thank the Lord for that. And now they're thinking, now we have a quiet, relaxing evening. Just chatting, you know, maybe we will get this snack. Maybe we'll get a Big Mac and a Coke or whatever. Maybe a Pepsi Max even. You know, the last one before they give it up for Lent. And then Jesus gets out of the boat and he's greeted by a man who's demon-possessed. Can you imagine the disciples? I don't believe this. Now we have a maniac to deal with. We've just got out of the storm, and we've heard stories about this guy. You know how stories get exaggerated as well, don't you? I can imagine, you know, he breaks chains. This guy breaks chains. They clamp his feet, he rips them off. He spends day and night screaming and hollering among the tombs. He self-harms really badly. And who knows, he's probably a cannibal. I don't know, I just made that bit up. But it could have been that that's what they thought, you know. We've dodged the storm. Now we have this guy to deal with. And I guess they were sitting there, God, man, I wasn't expecting this. They got into the boat for a quiet evening. They weren't expecting a day like this. But Jesus, the storm fixer, not only has ultimate power over the physical, but also over the spiritual. So Jesus gets to work on the maniac or the demoniac, this multi-demon-possessed man. What's your name? I mean, I guess, don't ask his name, just sort him out, will you? We don't know, we don't care what his name is. And then this guy says, my name is Demon. He says, because we're many. And they must go, ooh, flipping heck. Can you imagine that? It's spooky, this guy is spooky. Okay, his name's Legion, because there's many of us. It's a freaky answer, isn't it? You know, someone going, yeah, there's loads of us. We're coming to get you. You know, well. And Jesus starts dealing with the man. Jesus begins the task of setting this guy free, of releasing him. This demon-possessed man, oh yeah, he was strong. The power used to come on him. He could break chains. He could do all kinds of things, take off ankle restraints. He could free himself from anyone that tried to hold him. But Jesus was about to set him completely free from the things he was unable to break himself. Going to set him completely free. And as Jesus sets about freeing this man, I guess the disciples are looking around going, okay, things are getting a little better now, the guy's a bit calm. We could be in for a reasonable evening. He's becoming calmer. We can relax. Jesus then commands the demons to leave the man. All is peace. All is peace. But in the field next door, there's some strange noises going on. There's a herd of pigs, 2,000 pigs. That's a big herd of pigs, even in today's kind of pig industry. The pigs are becoming agitated, restless. You can imagine the pig herders, you know, trying to kind of calm the pigs down. I don't know how you calm a pig down, but, you know, shh, quiet. You know, I don't know. Don't know how you do it. Never tried. But whatever pig herders do, that's what they were doing. Trying to get the herd of pigs quiet. Trying to calm the pigs down, keep them under control. And you can imagine yourself going, oh my word, what is happening now? And then the disciples see 2,000 pigs. 2,000, you've got to imagine this. See, they didn't know the end of the story. 2,000 pigs charging headlong for the lake. Okay? Pigs don't swim well. And I can imagine them thinking, oh Jesus, what have you done now? This evening is really doing our nerves. You know, the whole day has been a bit nerve-wracked, really. You know, we didn't get the Mackey D's, we didn't get the Porky Scratchings, and we won't get the Porky Scratchings now because they're all going to be drowned. I mean, it's no chance of Porky Scratchings then, is there? And then they turned around to see the once demoniac peacefully sitting and in his right mind. Completely free from physical and spiritual shackles. When Jesus sets you free, the Bible says you're free indeed. You're completely free. Now the disciples, they were pleased with the outcome. The guy was looking good. Poor old pigs had all kind of headed off headlong into the sea and were drowned. But I'm sure they were still getting to grips with the trauma of everything. You know, we kind of read these stories really quick, don't we? But you imagine a day like that? Can you even imagine going through those things? And Jesus calming all those things, sorting all those things out. And then, of course, there were the owners of the pigs. They came to Jesus. They saw the demoniac sitting and in his right mind. Wonderful. But they thought that 2,000 pigs was a bit of a high cost to pay for one man's sanity. And so they pleaded with Jesus, said, Jesus, you have to leave this place. You're too expensive to run here. You're costing us too much. But so much for a peaceful evening with Jesus. And then they had to get back in the boat. Do you notice that? They didn't even stay there to get back in the boat, go back across the other side again. And then the poor old demoniac, he'd have loved to have gone with Jesus, pleaded with Jesus, can you take me with you? Can you take me away from all this? You know, these guys are going to be blaming me for losing 2,000 pigs, probably. You know, here I am, I've got all these people who've known me in the past. Can you take me somewhere else? And Jesus goes, no, you stay there and tell everyone what I've done for you. You tell people the good news that Jesus sets you free. This guy must have caused quite a stir as well, wherever he went, sharing what Jesus had done. And then I wonder if you can imagine the conversation amongst the disciples as they travelled back across the lake in their boat. Well, what a roller coaster, what a white knuckle ride. Is Jesus amazing or is he amazing? Is he incredible or is he, who is this guy really? Do we really know him? We thought we did, but do we really know who he is? You see, we read these accounts and we read these stories hundreds of times, don't we? The disciples didn't know the end of the story. They were in the story. They were the story. Isn't that great? They were the story. They were the story. They were writing the story that day. I say this today, you're writing the story. Your walk with Jesus, you're writing your walk with Jesus story today. So what can we learn from this story? Well, like all good preachers, you have 3 points, don't they? Yeah? You're a good preacher if you've got 3 points. So I've got 2 sets of 3. Okay, which is kind of 3, only double as good, I guess. I don't know. So number 1 is this. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. See, you always want to be hearing what Jesus tells you to do. Let's go over to the other side. See, when Jesus tells you to go somewhere, you can rest assured you will get there. You will get there. He doesn't tell you lies. He's not trying to trick you. Even if you have to go through a storm, if Jesus says, I want you to go here, and you follow him and you make sure you're with him, you will get where he wants you to go, even if the journey is not very good, even though you hit hardships on the way. Number two, he'll always be with you on your journey when you follow him. Let me say this. You should never get into a boat or any other mode of transport without Jesus, because it can be dangerous. You could end up in all kinds of trouble. Make sure wherever you go, Jesus is with you. Never go your own way under your own steam with your own good ideas and relying on yourself to get somewhere. Because I will guarantee you this, you will end up in trouble. And Jesus will always be with you on your journey, just like he was with those disciples. Number three, when you travel with Jesus, there is always a purpose to your journey. Always a purpose. Now, you may not always know the exact purpose before you reach your destination, but you'll find out when you get there. Have you ever found that when Jesus says, could you just go and do something? Or could you just go somewhere? And why am I going for? Well, I'll tell you when you get there. It kind of makes the journey quite interesting, doesn't it? But it's also a bit scary because you're not quite sure what's going to happen. But Jesus often tells us that. He didn't say to the guys, tell you what, guys, jump in the boat, let's go across the other side of the lake, we'll calm a storm, we'll heal a demon-possessed man, we'll get rid of 2,000 pigs, and you know, there's the day. You know. No, Jesus says, oh, here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. Ooh. But there's always a purpose when Jesus asks you to go somewhere. It's a bit scary not knowing what's going to happen. You see, we know our commission is to go and make disciples, which is exactly what Jesus asked the demoniac to do. He sent the demoniac straight out to witness to his friends and to the town that he came from. Jesus says this, go and tell the great things that Jesus has done for you. Go and tell the great things. That's what Jesus wants us to do, to witness in that way. Go and tell the great things God has done for you on our journey. When he tells us to go, well, he's wanting us to witness on the way. He's wanting us to go and tell the great things that he's done for us. And number four is this, the journey may be scary. You know, Jesus never promises an easy passage. You know, it used to be, you know, like I remember some testimonies when I was a lot younger. People used to say, do you know what? My life used to be terrible. Now nothing ever goes wrong and it's absolutely incredible. And I go, don't tell lies. Do you know what I mean? Because actually, we have to still face all the problems that everyone else faces. Life doesn't suddenly, you know, change for us in that respect. What changes is the person who's with us. What changes is Jesus is with us, and he changes circumstances and all kinds of stuff that we go into. But the journey can be scary. But remember, if he told you, let's go to the other side, you will get to the other side. And don't forget, on the journey, you can always cry out to Jesus. I love that. I've done that a few times on my journey. Sally and I have done that a few times. You probably have as well. Sometimes stuff is desperate and you go, Jesus, will you please wake up and help us? Because sometimes it can feel like, is anybody listening? Is Jesus listening? We're praying, we're praying, we're praying. Nothing's happening. Well, shout out to Jesus, because I tell you what, he's there. He's always with you and he will help you. Even if you feel he's sleeping and not speaking to you, he will help you. Guaranteed, because he's promised to, and he always keeps his promises. Okay, number five, what happens when you get to the other side might not be as you expected. You see, sometimes we set off on a journey. I like to think sometimes God just has to get us going somewhere. You know, some people used to say, well, it's much easier, you can't really steer a ship that's stationary, can you? You know, you have to get moving somewhere before you can get steered. And sometimes God gets us on a journey. And I've had this a couple of times where I felt like God said something. Phil, I want you to go over there because I want you to do so and so. So you start going. And then you get part of it and you go, you know what? I only wanted to get you going. I now want you to go there. And you go, oh, well, you never said that at the beginning. No, because if I'd said that at the beginning, you wouldn't have started the journey, would you? And I go, no, you are right. The funny thing is, God's always right as well, which is quite annoying at times. But you can't avoid it. So God often gets us going and then says, now I'm going to turn you where I really, really want you to go. And again, quite exciting, but a bit scary as well. And we expect one thing. I mean, I can't believe the disciples were expecting any of what happened to happen to them that day. Can you? Everything must have been so, whoa, incredible. But just imagine the stories there to tell. I mean, it must have been great, mustn't it? Going back to your family and go, I'll tell you what, you won't believe what happened today. And they go, no, we probably won't. And they probably didn't. But you know, life, if you're following Jesus, can I tell you what? You'll have some stories to tell about what God has done, about the way he set you on a path. And then he said, oh, I'm just going to push you that way. And I'm going to start off at one thing, and you will never believe what I'm going to get you to do or get you to be involved with. It's amazing when you walk with Jesus. He has other plans, but he's still with you. Because remember, once you start off with Jesus, he said, you know what, let's go across to the other side. See, when Jesus says, let's go across the other side, guess what he means? We're going to get across to the other side. It's the wonderful thing with God. He never, ever lets you down. He sometimes takes you right to the limit. You've been right to the limit in life where you feel like you're clinging on with your fingernails. And you think, God, if something doesn't happen soon, this is going to be, you know, disastrous. And he said, ah, don't worry, you've got at least another 20 seconds clinging on yet. I'll get to you before then. You know, see, we get worried and scared, and God's never worried or scared. Jesus is never particularly in a rush because what? Well, he knows everything. We have this incredible Savior, this incredible Jesus who walks with us and talks to us and takes us on life's journey. And you know, we can write, if you like, with Jesus, an exciting story. Don't you want an exciting story? I quite enjoy reading, and I enjoy thrillers. That's the trouble. So people give me sort of a nice long Christian book, and I go, yeah, lovely. How about a bit of Jack Reacher or something? You know, just to kind of give us a bit of zip as well. So I kind of have to alternate books, otherwise I get a bit kind of bored, you know. Because actually, but you want, you know, you want your walk with Jesus to be exciting. I don't want a mundane walk with Jesus. You know, I'm retiring now. In fact, you know, you won't believe this, but I actually get my pension now. Yeah, I know I don't look young enough, old enough. Thank you for saying that so spontaneously. But you know, I don't want a boring retirement. You know, I don't want to go, oh, you know, and just do whatever now. Hey, I want to keep the excitement going, eh? My mum used to say this. She said, you know what, Pip? She used to call me Pip. I never forgave her for that. But she, anyway, we'll forget that. She used to call me Pip. She'd say, do you know what, Pip? I go, no, but you're going to tell me, aren't you, Mum? She said, yeah, you want to make sure in your Christian life that you wear out rather than rust out. You want to wear out rather than rust out. And she did that. She wore out. She wore out about 66 years old. And she was a fantastic one. But she just kept going and going for God. And she said, yeah, don't rust out, wear out. And I want to do that, you know, for God. Because actually, I don't want a boring retirement. I want to keep going and going and going. Well, God gives us energy. And he gives us... You see, trouble is, you will never regain today. You know that, don't you? You will never... Today will never come round again. All that you've got is today and tomorrow. So make sure you're writing your story with God today. Don't say tomorrow. See, because what we like to do, but our circumstances will be better tomorrow. Will they? Will they really? It'll be easier tomorrow. When I maybe get a bit more money, or when I do something, or when it's something else, you know, it'll be easier. I tell you, it won't be. I guarantee you it won't be. See, when Jesus asks you to do something, do it when he asks you to do it. It's by far the best way. We've experienced that in our lives when God's told us to go and do something, and you sit there and think, it means we've got to change the kids' schools, we've got to move them miles, and you know, it's not going to be very good, and you go, well, why we should wait till the kids leave school. Let's wait. Let's not move them this year. This is their GCSE year. In fact, at school, they never gave me a GCSE year. So they got rid of me before then. But, you know, we can always think of good ideas why we shouldn't do what God tells us to do when he tells us to do them. Can I tell you, you'll miss out on what God has for you if you do that. You'll miss out. I mean, it doesn't mean to say God will leave you and he'll never ask you to do anything else. Of course he will. He's a gracious God. But if you want the best with God, do what he asks you to do when he asks you to do it and go, I'm trusting you for the rest. You see, sometimes you can't always line up. We'd love to line up all the ducks in a row, don't we? Get them all lined up. Get them all lined up and you go, no. And I tell you what, you will never line the ducks up in a row. There'll always be something that looks, because otherwise you wouldn't need any faith. See, if you can line the ducks in a row, what do you need faith for? You don't need any faith for that. It's all sorted. So I want to encourage you, write this story with God. It's your story. You can have your, you don't need to just have the disciples' story. Of course they're encouraging. We want to read them. We want to learn from them. You have your own story as well. It's supposed to be you. You're supposed to have your own story as you walk with Jesus. Martin and Stuart will have a story. Stuart and Marion just going to extend their story, aren't they? Going across to Estonia, Tallinn going to. Wow, there's another chapter, Stu. Marion, there's another chapter you're going to write. Something, wonder what's going to happen when you're there. You don't know. You don't know. But you see, you've heard God and you're going to go on this journey and you're going to write a story. I'm looking forward to hearing about it. Because it's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting. Yeah, so make sure whenever you go to the other side, make sure it is God who's taking you there. See, sometimes we can have like good intentions about things. And the trouble is, I don't know if you've ever talked to someone who's come for advice or whatever. And one of the kind of, when they play the ace card, which is, God's told me. You ever try to argue with someone who says, God's told me? Because you've got nowhere to go, really, have you? But we have to listen and make sure we do hear God correctly. Because sometimes we can want to do something, and then we can hear God because we want to do something. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a bit like prophesying for people sometimes that you know, or giving somebody a word that you know. Sometimes we prophesy out of knowledge of people. Now, none of you will have done that here. But, you know, you can do it. You can, because you want the best for someone and your heart's right, but you know, you're just working out of knowledge. Can I say this? You've really got to learn how to hear God. How to hear God. You know the best way to learn how to hear God is keep listening. Because when you hear him a few times, you will know his voice. You will know the voice of God. And it won't be guesswork because you'll go, I've heard this before. I've moved on this before. I've moved on to small things before. Therefore, I know when God asks me to do something that's big and out of the box somewhere, I can go, yeah, I can do it. Why? Because I know the voice of God. And then number six, Jesus is in control. Always has been, always will be. Always has been, always will be. Things that come your way on life's journey that are outside of your control, outside of your understanding, things will come your way that make you say, why? Why, God, is this happening? Why is that happening? You have to remember at that point that nothing is outside of Jesus' control, physical or spiritual. Everything has to bow in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And he's with us. Isn't that great? Everything has to bow in his presence, and he's the one who's with us, taking us on the journey. Everything has to come under his authority. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, always has been, always will be. Isn't that great? He never falls off his throne. He's always the king. So, life's journey, full of surprises. It's often the white knuckle roller coaster ride, especially when you travel with Jesus. But it's exciting. You can choose boring. You can choose mundane. You can say, do you know what? We're going to spice things up. We're going to go with Jesus. We're going to go with Jesus. But let me just give you a little warning, bring you back into kind of how this really works. Here's a warning regarding the journey with Jesus. It can be unpredictable. It can be a bit scary. It can be exciting. It can be heartbreaking. You know that? It can be heartbreaking sometimes. It can be humbling. It can be rewarding. It can be frustrating. It can be exhausting. But it's seldom dull. It's seldom dull. Walking with Jesus is seldom dull. It's seldom uninteresting. It always has purpose. It always has purpose. Even when we can't see the purpose. See, it would be great if you look back on your life and went, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Wouldn't it? Isn't that what you want when you walk with Jesus? Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Just like those disciples, they started off on an ordinary day with Jesus. Some ministry. Going then to the other side of the lake, and then there's the demoniac, and then the pigs are all getting killed, and Porky Scratchings are a thing of the past. So everything kind of... But they went back. Wow, did they have some stories to tell about Jesus and their walk with him? Make sure you have your stories that you want to tell about Jesus. Now you may not know Jesus this morning. Maybe you've been looking for someone to journey with. Maybe you've been going, do you know what, life is tough. Who can I journey with? I've tried to journey with some people and they've let me down. I've tried to journey with some people in my life and I've ended up, you know, feeling abandoned. I've ended up feeling bad and I can't make it on my own. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to journey with you this morning. If you don't know him, you can get to know him this morning. You can give your life to him, and I promise he'll be the best journey companion you've ever had. And if you follow him closely, he'll make your journey exciting, he'll make it rewarding, he'll make it fulfilling. It'll be tough, but you'll never have a better journey companion than Jesus. Maybe you know Jesus, you've been a Christian for a long time, and you've known him for ages. But maybe you're following Jesus has become a little less exciting. Maybe you've settled into some ordinary kind of, let's just settle back, let's just sit down and see what life brings. I want to encourage you this morning, start writing your story again. Maybe you've got a chapter that's got no writing in it. Flick the page over and say, is this a new chapter? See, you can't have yesterday back. If you didn't write anything yesterday, you can't write anything yesterday. So don't worry about that. Go to the next one and go, today I'm going to start writing this next chapter of following Jesus. I want to encourage you to do that today. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes afresh on him. Journey with him all the way through life. All the way through life. See, life's temporal, isn't it? You know, at 25, I never thought anything about getting to 65. I mean, I'm glad I have, you know. It's not... I'm not grateful. I am grateful because the alternative's not great. So here we are at 65. But you know, it's not going to last forever, you know. But then when we journey with Jesus, we journey on through into eternity where we're going to be with him forever. See, that's a great thing to look forward to as well. I'm looking forward to that. Not too soon, but I am looking forward to, just in case Sally ups the insurance or something, you know. I'm happy to hang around for a little while longer, honey. So let me encourage you. Start writing that story, your story with Jesus. If you've not written one already, I trust you have. Most of you will have started writing your story. Keep it going. Keep going. You know, I may have reached this point. I may be this age. I may be this comfortable. Do you know what? I'm going to start writing the story. God, what do you want me to do? Are we doing what you call me to? See, ask the question, God, are we still doing what you called us to do? Are we still in the right place? Are we still doing the right things? Or have we just got into a rut someplace? Because Jesus wants to take you on a wonderful, wonderful journey. A wonderful journey that will test you in every way possible. But you'll come out and you go, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving your life for us. We thank you that this morning we've celebrated your death on the cross. We celebrated you giving your very life for us. And Lord, you did that to set us free. You did that so that we could give our lives to you and walk in relationship with you. So, Lord, I want to pray now that each one of us here this morning will once again give our all to you and will walk in the ways you called us to walk. Father, we say you are an amazing God. You are the almighty God. You are the one and only. So, Lord, we want to declare our love and our passion for you, Lord. Would you help us to write our story, the story that you have for us, the story that you've planned out before the beginning of time for each one of us. Help us, Lord, to make sure we fulfill that story, that we write the pages again, that we're excited about what you want to do with us, Lord. Help us to step out of the ordinary into the extraordinary with you. So, Lord, we pray that you'd be with us today. Watch over us, we ask, Lord God. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.